you. Let me start my timer. In case you guys wonder, I know sometimes you think, what is that noise the Beatles are playing on him? That is actually my timer. And you think, oh boy, we're close to the end. No, I just like to give people a false hope, okay? I don't know about you, but I'm not really a shoe person. You say, well, Sheridan, I've noticed that when I've looked at it. Okay, here's the deal. I'm not the type of guy, if you go in my closet, they're just shoes for every day of the week or whatever. I kind of like to wear my things out. But one thing I will not do is I will not pay full price. I will not. My stinky feet are not going into anything expensive, baby. They're, you know, we're going to get cut, and I'm going to look for the deal, and even when I get a nice dress shoes, it's got to come down. Boom, I'll get it, all right? So, you know, if I see something like this Italian shoe store named Palessi, I'm going to walk on by. But some people did not do that, and you might be familiar with this story, so watch.
The experiment making headlines by the chain Payless Shoes. They held a grand opening of a luxury store with a different name but the same shoes and charged hundreds more for those same shoes. Customers paid. Here's ABC's Kana Whitworth.
Behold, Palessi.
We built a fake luxury store in Los Angeles and filled it with Payless Shoes. The guests at our grand opening party had no idea.
Guests invited to check out what looked like a luxury shoe shop.
They're elegant, sophisticated.
I just think it's so classy.
And I could tell it was made with high quality material.
A $35 shoe going for $645, an 1,800% markup. Store owners sat on their heels as fashion influencers emptied their wallets.
I would pay $400, $500, yeah. People are going to be like, where'd you get those? Those are amazing.
Then they're let in on the prank.
These are actually from Payless.
You've got to be kidding me.
Shut up. Are you serious?
But those shoppers were refunded their money and they got to keep the shoes.
David, Payless calling it a provocative social experiment designed to challenge today's image-conscious culture. Either way, it was an effective PR stunt.
Yeah.
David.
Clearly a marketing ploy, but they paid. Okay. Kana, thank you.
There we go. I will never fall for that, okay? But I have fallen for other things similar to that. And that's the thing I want us to think about today as we kick off our series here. Notice what they did in that prank. It was important that they got fashion influencers to come. You want to know what? Every single one of us in here is under the influence. We are influenced by people all the time. I know some people, not me, I'm my own person. No, you are exactly like the person or culture that you're allowing to influence you. There was a time back in my day and age, you know, 40 years ago or so, where the phrase was, do your own thing. And so we did our own thing, just that everyone doing their own thing was doing the same thing. But you were under this delusion that you are an individual, you've paved the way, you're cool, you're pioneer, you're under the influence. And you cannot escape that. And the thing that really challenges us at times is we listen to these social influencers on Facebook, on Snapchat, on Instagram, on, you know, videos and all of this. And boy, we take it in, yeah, not knowing that it's all fake. It's not really that way. Man, we even have psychological conditions now, FOMO, fear of missing out because of Facebook, Snapchat. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? We're influenced. And the thing is, sometimes it's funny. It's funny to do a prank, and okay, you paid $640 for a $35 pair of shoes. All right, they gave your money back. It's a joke. It's funny. But what if it happens to your life? What if you're listening to the life influencers in our culture? What if you're buying into that and you put your hopes, your passions, your energy, your focus, your money into that, only to end up empty? You have paid a price in your life. I've done that before, folks. And so today, I want to read from another influencer. This is a man just like you and me. This is a man that was influenced by his culture, that just thought that way. But this is a man that's been transformed. And he wants to lay something out to you. He wants to influence you. He wants you to stop and consider what he's saying that is not theory, but is something he experienced. You know, sometimes when we think about the Bible and the Bible writers, we get this picture almost of men sitting there and they're just kind of minding their own business, and one day, boom, and they grab a quill and dee 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 and start doing this robotic thing. That was not how it was written. It was written by men that experienced the things they were writing. It was written as a message. I want you to know this. I want you to remember this. I want you to share in what I am experiencing. I want to influence you. Now, it's up to you whether you believe it or not, but I've got a message. I want to influence you. And so today, I want us to listen to what the Apostle John has to say to each one of us. And what he's going to do today, we'll talk about, and we'll talk about other things as we go along. We're going to talk about something that we're all interested in. And that is life. Life. Right now, some of us are saying, boy, my life's going a good way. Some of us are going, my life stuck. Some of us are going, my life stinks. Why is life so hard? Why did this happen to me? Life this, life that, life this. Listen to the influencer. Open your heart to what he's trying to get you to see. We start in John 1. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen the glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. An amazing passage. John is writing to influence you, to let you know about someone. And in this majestic passage, one of the keys is right there in verse 4, in him was life, and that life was a light of men and women. Gospel of John, and I've mentioned this before, there are two words in the Greek for life. One is bios. That's something that all of us are experiencing right now. Bios, life. We exist. Our hearts are beating. Our brain synapses are going. Our circulatory, our respiratory system, all these things are working. Maybe not working that great, but they're working. You have bios, life. But here in John, it says, in him was, not bios, was Zoe. Now, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, but Zoe, life. Now, you know what? That's not just existence. That's talking about the quality of what we look for. That's why when you have two people in a room and one person says, my life's going pretty good. The other person says, my life stinks. You don't go, well, why? Your heart's both beating. You understand they're talking about something different. They're talking about a quality. They're talking about a reason behind life. Why do we exist? Zoe, in this quality, I think of it in four ways. Number one, purpose. Purpose. It's more than just existence. You just don't exist. You exist for purpose. Purpose is something that is to be accomplished. You can fill in that blank, but what's a person's purpose? Something has to be accomplished. That's what purpose is. There is something to be accomplished. Secondly, meaning. Deb and I were fortunate to go to the Netherlands a few years back. I always wanted to go into Rijksmuseum and see the Night Watch by Rembrandt. Beautiful. It takes up the entire wall. It's unbelievable. And I saw it, and that was wonderful. But in my filing cabinet at home, I had these little scribbles that are worth more than the Night Watch. You know why? My kids did those scribbles. And if I were to just show it to you and show you the Night Watch, you'd go, well, there's not much. look at that. But it's meaningful to me. Why do we use that word, meaning? We want life to have meaning. You know what I think? I think of cause to celebrate. Someone can give me a gift because everyone ought to get a gift. But someone who really sacrificed, they gave me this gift. That's meaningful. It's a cause to celebrate the love, the sacrifice, the compassion. Life needs meaning. Zoe is about having meaning. It's also, Zoe is about significance. Everyone wants to feel significant. And I'll tell you what, if I were to go around and say, is everyone significant? Oh, yeah, we're all significant. Because you know that to say we're not significant is terrible. But if I say to all of you, you are all significant, okay, that's a nice thought, but so what? So what? See, significance to me, Zoe, is singular importance. I can say your significance, and it just gets lost in the fact we're all in a crowd, this kind of genuine, general blessing. But if you feel singularly important, and not, comparing yourself to anyone else, but like, I am important, that's significance. It's a singular importance. And then the fourth thing when I think about Zoe is self-examination. That's what causes our life to be open to transformation. Is we are able, some people go, well, man's just an animal. Really? Really? How come we can think about what we think about? How come we can assess situations and not respond by instinct or even stimulus? But we can plot ahead, then review that and examine that, and why did I do that, and have all of this cognitive conscious ability that animals don't have. You know why? Zoe. That ability, when Socrates was condemned to death, it is purported that he said, the unexamined life is not worth living. He's right. If you don't look at your life and see what's going on, how in the world can you ever be open to transformation? In him was Zoe, was purpose, meaning, significance, self-examination. This is what he brings. No wonder it says it's the light of men and women, and we'll talk about light at a later point. Every single person in here desires this. They want purpose. They want meaning. They want significance. They want self-examination. They want it all because they don't just want to exist. And they go after relationships. They go after jobs. They go after family. Go after, and it's all contingent on this. But what John is saying is, look, here's something I want to tell you. In Jesus is Zoe. I want to influence you. I want you to stop what you're pursuing and consider. Yeah, but I don't know if I really buy into that. It's okay. Stop and consider. If you listen to Snapchat and listen to Facebook and everything else, just add this to your list. Let me stop and consider. Is this true? John says, he's going to talk about it in his gospel. This is what I've experienced. This is why I've got to pass it on. Says, the darkness did not understand it. You see, the backdrop is darkness. It's a fallen world. Why is it that our lives get so hard, confused, in purpose, in meaning, in significant self-examination? The darkness. We'll talk more about this later in coming messages. But darkness is the absence of goodness. It's the absence of goodness. God created all things good. Man sinned. Now darkness enters the world. And so John is telling us, I want you to know something. When it comes to your life and everything you're pursuing and these things trying to grab the meaning, purpose, significance, you're battling against the darkness. And darkness influences us with attitudes, with physical illness, mental illness, job illness, neighborhood illness. I mean, we get experience with people, betrayal, all of these things here. And Jesus is coming into the world, not changing the darkness in one fell swoop, but one soul at a time. Giving it up to us to choose. Do I want to respond? John is trying to influence you. What he's experienced is not exclusive to him. You and I can experience it too. He's not saying, I'm all brains. He's just saying, I'm the signpost. Look at what I got. Someone once said, all evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. That's all it is, man. And that is what John is doing right now in your life. How is your life? Is it racked by insecurities, racked by doubt, by anxiety, by fear? Are you at a point that you're just cynical? It's easier to be cynical, just like it's easier to destroy something than build something. You ever notice that? Anybody can be cynical. It takes somebody a vision to see what can be. And vision comes from Zoe. So, for you and I to experience this, John's trying to influence us. There's several reasons. You just go back and have an amazing study in this passage. But I want to put this before you. He starts off saying, in him is Zoe, and that Zoe is the light of men. He will conclude his gospel in chapter 20, verse 31, talking about all that he had just written from chapter 1 to here. He's going to say, all these have been written that you may believe, and by believing have Zoe in his name. Everything we're going to be looking at is going to talk about your life. Is going to influence, this is how you can really live and live the life here. It's not about being self-centered. It's about getting back to what you're created for. Two things to consider as we begin on this quest. Number one, John says that Jesus has the power and authority to do this. John's not passing on to you, hey, this is the neatest self-help book I've just read. You read it too. Have you ever noticed how self-help book shelves are keep being filled? Wouldn't you think that by now someone would have written a book that people go, oh, I finally help. This works. Go on. But why? It doesn't work. It's just like dieting, you know, shelves at a bookstore. You know, this is it. If you eat this weed, you're really going to lose. You know, it's just like, oh, my goodness. Here we go. Here we go again. It's just making money. That's what it's doing. But John says this. I'm not going to talk about this obscure idea. I'm not going to give you theory. I'm going to introduce you to someone. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything was created through Him, and for Him all things exist. Jesus has the power and the authority. He is the source and sustainer, not only of bios, but He is of bios, but the source and sustainer of Zoe. He is, you know, when you have something that breaks, what do? You send it back, right? Send it back to the factory. Send it back. You just don't, you know, grab anyone off the street. Hey, buddy, why don't you look at this? Why don't you do something? Guy will put out some duct tape, and you're thinking, no, we need to be a little more technical than this. You send it back. Why? Because the people that built it know best how to put it together. John is hearkening back. He's appealing to both Jewish mindset and Greek mindset, which covers everybody. Jewish mindset, when he starts off saying, I'm going to influence you, in the beginning was the Word. It's like, wow, I've heard something like this before. In the beginning was God. The beginning of the books of Moses, the beginning of the Bible. And what the Jews would understand Word as being, when God's Word speaks, things happen. It's an authoritative thing. This is the way it is. Doesn't matter what any man thinks. This is the way it is. Why? It is God. The Greeks also had a concept of Word, logos. And theirs was reason. God's reason. You look at all of this. And going back even 500 years before Christ, I think the man's name was Heraclitus. I think that's it. The philosopher. He's the one famous saying was, you can never step into the same river twice. You step in once, pull your foot out, step in again, it's different water, it's gone. Because life is in a constant state of flux. But he said, why isn't it just totally chaotic? Because the logos of God, the Word of God, reason, holds things together and makes them work. So a Greek audience would be influenced by this, saying, okay, the way things organize mankind, everything, the reason of God. The Jews would say, God has spoken. In the beginning was the Word. So that's when they're looking at Jesus. You're looking at someone who can do whatever needs to get done to cause us to experience Zoe and come back to what we were created for. How is your life? Not just your bios, your Zoe. How is it? Only one person can fix it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through Him, all things were created. Your very being comes from Him. He is the source. That's what John's saying. The other thing John's saying, and I want you to look, verse 12 and verse 14, 12 through 14. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. John's trying to let us know it doesn't matter who you are, this is for you. To all who received Him. This is not an elitist thing. This is not a, well, you just got to have this proper understanding. You'll have all of the understanding you need because it comes from Him. This is for all mankind, every race, every culture, every background. It doesn't matter if your life has totally been messed up. It's for every addict. It's for every a violent person, is for every person whose heart is just desperately crazy. It's for all of us. It doesn't matter who you are. And here's how He did it. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And now God takes on you and your situation, all of the things you're susceptible to because you live in the flesh, that's what he took on. Some of you know my son is an unbelievable photographer. If you don't know that, I'm telling you that right now, okay? Yes, Sheridan, you're his dad, so you're prejudiced. I'm very prejudiced. Make no question about it. But I want you to know this. Anyone that sees his stuff, they're pretty blown away. He has several things he likes to do, but one thing he does, he's gone two or three times now to the Congo, twice to the Congo, and he goes to the Congo and photographs the gorillas in their habitat. You've seen the silverback gorillas? Big, giant dudes. All right. Not friendly. Not friendly. My son gets within 20 feet of them and photographs them. You ought to see it. It's amazing. And there have been some times that they would charge him, all right? You know how my son did that? He didn't one day go, you know, I'd like to go photograph some gorillas. Hop on a plane. I hear they're in Congo, so I'll walk all over Congo and, you know, get in the jungle, and then, you know, he comes out, there's one of these gorillas, hey, how y'all doing, you know? That's right. Not only is Zoe gone, but Bios is going to be gone. You do that. You know what he did? He hired a guide. He hired somebody that has done this before, has gone this way before. Somebody that knows exactly how to be in a situation, how to address it. When a gorilla charges, knows what you do, because you have a split second. Somebody that's done it before. What John is trying to tell us is, I don't know where you are in your life, but I know someone that's gone on before that had the fullness of Zoe in them, that faced the darkness, that faced the doubts, the fears, the anxiety, that faced disease, mental challenges, that faced oppression, political stuff. He's done it before. And he says, follow me. You've got a guide. You don't have to do it by yourself. Your life doesn't have to be one self-help book after another self-help and after another in this mad pursuit. You don't have to put everything into things that don't last. Even good things. We have great relationships. But things don't always last, do they? See, here's the thing. We got a choice. We can either be transformed or we can transform the definitions in our life. You start calling bad things good, now you can lower the bar. You start trying to change the definition of Zoe. I mean, I don't know too many people that aren't just shaking their heads at our whole political situation here. There's blame on both sides of the aisle. When I was growing up, elementary school were taught better manners than that. But you know what? We've changed the definition. This is what it means to stand for something. This is right. This is they're bad, we're good. I'm both sides aisle. Nobody escapes this one. Nobody. But we change the definitions rather than changing us. And the tragic thing is if you don't get transformed, you take yourself into any situation. So just change the definition. Well, the reason I act and the reason I do that is because it's good and I'm my own God. You become your own God. Now try and have the responsibility of being your own God. Then the blame shifting comes. All the things that go wrong. Well, this happened. And I wasn't raised right. And this opportunity. This person did this to me and that and that. People are always going to do that to you. We're not always going to get raised right. It's always going to. So there are two things. There's the situation and there's us. You can't do things about the situation a lot. You can always do something about yourself. In Jesus was Zoe. And that Zoe was the light of man. Guess what? The Apostle John is trying to tell us, hey, you want a wonderful, secure life? He's not saying that. This guy is being persecuted. This guy, they're hunting them down. But what is he saying? I'm transformed. Nothing else matters. I can deal with stuff because I have been transformed. I'm experiencing life. The people that seek to kill me, they don't have life. They don't have Zoe. But I have life. I have changed. I don't have to change definitions to try and feel good about myself. I can still say, this is faith. This is hope. This is love. And I change to experience those things. And Zoe flows out of me. Are you being influenced by what John is saying? Because he's pointing you to Jesus. If you're not yet a Christian, you got a lot of choices out there. I understand that. There are. There's a lot of influences waiting for your attention. There's fashion influencers, sports influencers, business. They're all out there. They're all out there. And you've got a lot of voices. Let me put one more. Consider what John is saying here. There's no fashion, sports, military, political, cultural person that would even begin. I know people may think they're God, but begin to say, in the beginning, I am, I was, and I'm with, I am. Jesus said that. John says, I've experienced that. How about you? Those of us that are Christians, are we stuck in our life? Are we stuck? We're on kind of the hamster wheel, going round and round, doing the same old, and, you know, life just not as, you know, exciting and all that. You know, in him is still Zoe. You may have a difficult situation. We have people here that are battling chronic illness, serious illness, physically. We have people battling mental illness. We have people battling financial pressures. We have people battling social pressures, job pressures. Sometimes you feel like, man, life is just boom, boom, and it seems like the darkness is about to win. The darkness, nah. All of the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the smallest flame. You need to come back. Sometimes I hear people saying, I think it's a good idea to go to church, and I want to help other people go to church. Please don't think that. Please don't. And here's why. I mean, I love church. But it's Jesus who gives us life. Church is just an expression of Jesus living in us. Anyone can sit in a group of people and never be transformed. Never experience what John is trying to share. And they think, because that's America, I'm going to church. I go to a great church. I go, ugh! In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the church is the body of the Word. And that is who we need a fresh influence by. This week, I want to challenge all the disciples. Go and just, with all this going on, ask God, I want a fresh view of Jesus. And I want to experience the Zoe that he brings. If you're not a Christian, study. I guarantee I've experienced it. I've experienced what John's talking about. So have many people here. Do it now. Start studying. Seek it. See if what he's saying is the ultimate influence. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for Jesus. So thankful for him, not only just the life he lived, but he invites us into that life. Thank you, Father, that a relationship with you and being redeemed is a continual experience. Thank you that transformation is a process, that you don't kind of be an enabler in our ingratitude by changing things in an instant, But you allow us to participate in that, to experience that, and to change in our character and our heart. Father, help us to open our hearts wide to you, drop all of the barriers, and more than anything else, just want to be with you and follow your Son, Jesus. Spirit, thank you for how you wield your word to lead us to you. Help us to always have the humility to respond. We love you, we thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, singers, come on. Everyone else, let's stand and get ready to close out the service.